Welcome back to Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Daniel B. Smith, a certified financial planner on the Family Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana J. Smith.
Happy to be here.
We're located in Paramus, New Jersey, and can be reached at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com. Our guest today is another member of the Family Wealth Management team here at UBS, Kristen Marino. Kristen is a certified financial planner, a certified working mother of two. She's here to talk about all things financial planning with Family Wealth Management.
All right, we got two experts on the pod today.
Exactly.
Two certified financial planners. Well, first of all, do you want to talk a little bit about Kristen?
There's so many things that are admirable about Kristen. I think if I were to just name three, the first thing is Kristen is very team oriented. She feels very, very devoted to the team concept and what's best for the team. And truthfully, with our clients, they're on their team. They have their own family team, and she wants to make sure that she has connectivity with that. That's number one. Team oriented.
Big one.
Big one. Number two is she has incredible work ethic. I mean, I'm talking incredible.
You're hard to impress in that arena too.
It is.
You have high standards.
What happens is that whatever she devotes her time to, she gives it a best effort and she puts the time in to be good at it. Whatever we ask her to do, she does it with a smile. She puts in the hours. And they always say, if you want to get something done, ask a mother of two. The busy mom theory. You know, she's married with two kids. She has an active social life. She obviously is a big contributor to our team.
And she's a very present person. When you're with her, you feel like you have her attention.
That's correct. And I think the third and maybe the most special thing about her is her ability to connect with people. When she first started working with us, one of the things we would do is we would have her go out to reception and bring the client back to our office for the meeting. And that 60 seconds, you know, they would come in laughing and people just open up when they talk to her. She has that innate ability. She's not shy. She's empathetic. You know, her emotions are connecting with the people that she meets. I think that's a gift that the world needs more of.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
So those are three things I love about her.
She's one of a kind.
She is.
So the question today, ask Dan. Today's question is, Dan, can you explain the difference between a certified financial planner, CFP, and regular financial advisor? And why is it worth the extra effort to find a CFP?
That's a great question. And I get that question a lot. And mostly the question I get is, are you a certified financial planner?
And
I can say yes. When I first started out in my career, I was not. And after a few years, I got that accreditation. So the accreditation part is important. The second thing is certified financial planner. And that's what I believe in. I believe in planning. Doing a financial plan by a CFP, they look through a lens of not how we're going to get paid, but more about what is right for the client. So it could be a non-financial goal. So let's just say you're meeting with a prospect and the prospect has $5 million in assets. I don't look at the $5 million. I look at what's surrounding it. Do they have a will and estate plan? Are they working with a certified public accountant? Do they have life insurance? Do they have long-term care insurance? Is the account titling correct? Whereas I think a lot of advisors want to rush to how they're going to get paid, putting the money in motion so they're able to financially benefit from that portfolio.
I see.
So I lead into it very simply. I look at the total picture first. The investments are the vehicle to fulfill the financial plan. And I explain to the clients maybe three or four options, and I let them go down the path of what they're most comfortable with. I will, of course, give my recommendation, which I think is in their best interest. But at the end of the day, the client has to feel comfortable with their plan, because at the end of the day, it's their plan. It's not my plan. It's not UBS's plan. It's their plan.
Yeah, it's their hard-earned money.
Correct.
And it's their retirement, which is...
Well, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Finding that right person for you and making sure that they have the highest accreditation to deal with your most personal piece of your life.
Listen, there's other accreditations in our industry, and I'm not belittling any of those. For me personally, this is what I connect with. This is what I believe in, and I've been doing it since 2002. So that's a long period of time. I haven't seen a better method of handling the client experience.
Awesome. All right. Well, speaking of CFPs, why don't we welcome another one into our podcast studio?
The Kristen Marino, Certified Financial Planner.
Dan has a plan.
Also, Alana J, welcome the Kristen Marino.
Big day on the pod.
Big day at the pod.
We have another Family Wealth Management team member. Hello.
Yes, she's the first to be on the show. Well, excuse me, the second to be on the show, because you're the first.
Oh, yeah. But she's the most senior member.
She is.
We've had on the pod.
Yes.
Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
So, you know, Chris and I go back a ways.
So do we.
Exactly. She was
probably about as long, right?
She was pre-Alana.
Oh, yeah.
I think you...
I was alive, I think.
You were alive.
When Kristen came on the scene.
I met Kristen when she was 5 and you were 3.
Two.
Okay. There we go. More math.
30 years.
30 years.
Wow.
That's a long time, yes.
Before we dive in, any words of wisdom for maintaining a friendship and transitioning between friendship to boss and all that?
You know what? It actually was more seamless than you would expect.
Yeah.
I think it comes from just knowing somebody for so long, having already known him in a coaching capacity. It was sort of like the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's starting, he's teaching everything, and that's...
It all comes back to coaching.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Come on, I've been telling you this.
So we wanted to have you on the pod, Kristen, to double down on our CFP expertise today.
Okay.
We got two CFPs here. Yeah, so Kristen, I met her at a very young age, and she was in the same grade level as your sister, Janine.
Okay, right.
So we crossed paths a lot, you know, just being part of the community and sports and Girl Scouts, being in the same grade, getting to know her parents. And during elementary and through high school, did you have any idea what career path you wanted to go down?
No. I would say even in college, graduated from University of Rhode Island. Senior year, I did an internship, thought I was going to go into sales and worked for about a year. Not very happy with it. I think I came here one time to see Janine, was talking to Dan. And then I think a couple months later, you gave me a call and that's how it started.
Yeah. So having known her for so long, I sense a little bit of unhappiness with the job. Mm-hmm. And Paul Platic and I had moved to UBS Financial Services in 2010, and we were in need of another person. So I talked to Paul. I said, listen, I want to have Kristen in for a chat. And he goes, well, you know, we can't afford her.
That's right.
Exactly.
And I said, Paul, I go, listen, just meet her. Okay. We definitely could use the help and I think you'll be impressed. So she came in for an interview on a Saturday morning, I remember.
Wow.
So the office was quiet, and she sat with us for about an hour, and you know, I showed her out, and then I came back to talk to Paul, and first thing he said, when can she start? There you go. She was selling already. So what
Didn't
year
even know it.
What year was that?
2012. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously she came in very green. She had a great mentor who has since retired from UBS. Her name was Pat Short. So shout out to Pat.
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
Yeah, shout out.
The Pat Short. So when you met Pat, who is a senior client service associate, what resonated and how did she bring you along?
So we sat right next to each other. So my office was a little bit down from Paul and Dan's. And we could literally hear all of each other's phone conversations because we're right next to each other. So anytime I needed help with anything, I was saying to Dan actually the other day, she was my mentor in that specific role of getting to know how to use the systems and how to work things. She was incredible. I had a couple of people, but she was definitely the best because she was right next to me and she was always willing to help. So
that's huge. And so you started in client services?
Yeah. So I started probably more marketing and then it switched to the client services portion, which I ended up loving. And I think a big part of that was I liked dealing with the people. And Dan was big on know the clients, understand them. That was the focus from the get-go.
Yeah, one of the things I used to do with Kristen is quiz her on how well she knew the client.
Flashcards?
Yeah. I was pretty good at it.
I have no doubt.
What were their kids' names? Where did they grow up? What restaurant do they like? What's the name of their dog? In our business, it's called KYC, Know Your Client.
KYC.
Yeah. It's not KFC, by the way.
Right. Kentucky Fried Clients. So when did the finance piece pique your interest?
I would say the first year was really just about getting acclimated to UBS, the clients, the job specific stuff. It took a few years in for me to really see things that I started thinking about doing the CFP.
And then, you know, we pushed her to take some exams.
Yeah.
And the first one was called...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it started.
So the first one was called the Series 7. You know, Series 7 is basically a really broad test, a lot of material. It's necessary. We wanted her to get licensed. Mm-hmm. The second one is a Series 66, which is, in our business, it's called Blue Sky. It means that you're able to get licensed and operate out of your home state. Okay. So we're licensed in probably... give or take 25 states.
Right.
So, and the nice part is if I were out of the office, Kristen could do a trade. And that's the big thing.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. So you have to be able to trade, move money, but specifically buy and sell securities.
Got it.
All right.
So how did that feel going from one role to another?
So that was really in the beginning. At that time, I think I was ready for that change. And as I've said to Dan, the last 3 years, then I started saying, I like what I'm doing, but I could be doing more.
Yeah. And you also had started a family. You have two kids now. What was the commitment of being a mom and working full time? How did you adjust to that?
Yeah, it was difficult. With one, it was kind of doable. I had some time off with Molly for maternity leave, obviously. Then Will came right during COVID. So that was, that was an interesting time because then I was working from home. I was on maternity leave until June, and then I was working from home for a full year. So that was interesting times. But now we did daycare and we've had my dad helping, my mother-in-law. We've had really good support. So I feel like it's been doable, but it's not easy. You get home 5:30 and your time's limited. You have just a couple hours. It can be difficult.
And during COVID, my longtime partner, Paul, moved to North Carolina and basically went into a long-term retirement program. So it was really an unusual time because I was in the office, Kristen was working remotely, Paul was in North Carolina working remotely, and Paul, he's the greatest partner, work ethic second to none. But as he was segueing into kind of the inactive phase of his retirement on a professional basis, I thought you and I became much more synergistic.
Yeah.
I guess is the way I would say it. Would you agree with
that? I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So
when you're dealing with clients, do you have a shorthand? How do you sort of divvy up the work?
The current structure of the team, just to give it some context, Paul is now nearly fully retired. It's myself. We have an internal person named Tim Costello, and Tim works in the office. I go between the office and out of the office, meeting with clients. And there's two people that Kristen has been training, Dana and Jenna, to basically take over her role. Mm-hmm. All right. So Kristen is moving up the ladder to becoming a financial advisor. That's really the goal. So one of the things that was part of that is taking the CFP exam, and maybe tell everybody what that process was like for you.
Yeah. I started the actual process in October. My mom was battling lung cancer at the time, so the timing was tough. I started in October. She actually, unfortunately, passed away in the end of December. And then I still was like, I got to do this because I want to do it for myself. I know my mom would have been proud. So I just kind of pushed through. It's about a year-long program, and you're having to pass different sections. And then the following November, I took the test. Unfortunately, did not pass. And
which is common.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And it's also a pass fail. So there's no number involved. You don't really know. I just said, all right, well, I'm going to take it again in March, and just made it work. Woke up at 4:30 to study for a few hours and then went to work.
4:30. What is that hour?
Yeah, it was the only time the house was quiet.
Wow.
Yeah. With the kids, it was hard because you get home from work and I still want to be present for a few hours before they go to bed. And then 8:30 rolls around. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go to bed. I can't sit and read a book right now.
Yeah. Do you have memories of that test too?
Yeah. It's the most difficult test that I've ever taken. And I was trying to guide her through, just to set the stage for her, that there's so much material.
And a lot of detail.
A lot of detail. Now think of it like, you know, trying to eat an elephant. You can only do it one bite at a time. You know, so it's crazy. It's crazy.
And a necessary part.
Yeah. You know what it is too? I was telling Dan, like, you think you know a little bit about a lot of things, and then you realize there's so much more detail about taxes and retirement planning and estate planning. It really just kind of boiled down the biggest things.
Yeah. So she's watched Paul and I interact with clients and run them through their financial plan. Now she's doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
how was your first financial plan on your own?
It was a very last minute, oh, Kristen, I think I'm going to have you run this meeting. I go, oh, okay. Would have been nice to know ahead of time.
Classic.
Classic. Very classic of Dan.
Well, you can over and over and over prepare. You have to walk through the plans and pepper the client with questions that pertain to them and see where the plan takes you.
And the plan's going to change. Whatever plan you had is going to change anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get her to be a little spontaneous doing the financial plan.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the investments and you know that you'd like to go down a path of an investment recommendation, she's really grown in that area. What are the challenges that you've found with trying to make recommendations?
I think just making sure to explain it in a way that makes sense to them and shows how it's going to help them in the long term. Because sometimes I think if the client doesn't understand what you're recommending, it's never going to work, you know?
Yeah. I can imagine you use a decent amount of metaphors and
tons. Read a book with all of them.
You should. Well, I think what you're talking about is reading the room and seeing what the client needs in the moment. And I guess you can't plan for that because they're going to come in with new information and what's going on in their lives.
I think the more times you do anything, the more comfortable you feel. But it's also how Dan does it. Your focus is the plan. That's the whole discussion. Things come up when you're going through it. That's really the meeting. I don't really know how people don't do it that way.
I did not write the book on how to become a financial planner or a financial advisor. I did not. But what I've tried to express to Kristen is I have to do something that I believe in, but I have to do it with my style. And my style is different than her style, but everything is planning based. The plan document for any individual is of utmost importance. Now, you don't have to do financial planning for clients. You can just make it a investment performance.
Which docs are we investing in kind of thing?
Yes, and there's some people that get really charged about that. And in that case, Tim on our team has a real passion for following certain stocks and the pros and cons of those. So what I'll do is I'll integrate him into the conversation.
There you go.
But the priority is the plan.
Kristen, one of the questions we got on our last episode was how to talk about finances with your partner, if you have different styles, when to integrate your finances. Can you talk a little bit about how that transition was for you and then maybe starting to work in the finance world and how that might have changed?
Yeah. So for Paul and I, we've always kind of put everything together. Everybody has a different way of doing it. And I don't think there's a right and a wrong, but I do think that being on the same page and being in the meeting together, my husband Paul and I met with Dan. And we did our plan for the first time. And I think it's important for both parties to be there to really understand what's going on. I think you have to have buy-in from both parties or else
you're not getting the full picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of big on that.
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit in the Ask Dan episode, but it's good to get your vote of confidence on this too.
I think also though, now we've dealt with a lot of aging clients who have lost a spouse. And that's when you really see the importance of it because there's usually one person who did everything. The other person doesn't know. It's so much harder for them. They really have it's difficult and it's sad. We've dealt with a lot of clients like that. So it's such an overwhelming time when you're going through that. And then to not really know what's going on makes it just so much harder.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. I remember when I started to pay attention to what you really did.
When was that, Alon?
Okay, well, it was complicated, but you really deal with a lot of end of life. You are like immediately a part of someone's grief process. Did you expect that to be part of the job? How is it for you? I think it's just an interesting thing.
No, I didn't expect that to be part of the job. I never really thought of that aspect, but I feel like it makes you so much closer to the client and in a positive way, just be able to be there for them and sort of get them through this difficult time. I think that's very fulfilling personally.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just buying stocks and bonds, I would have been out of this business a long time ago.
I agree. I think that's the best part about the business is learning about other people, building relationships, connections with them. I was saying to Dan the other day, somebody was thinking of retiring and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy that they've gotten to the point where they can say that now, that they're ready to retire. It's cool. You see 13 years that I've been here, people working, and it's exciting to see people retire and do things.
Huge.
I'm looking forward to.
We see their kids go to college. We see their kids have kids. We oftentimes start working with their aging parents just to make sure that, you know, account titling is correct. Their estate plan is in order. Are they able to do their bill paying? Are they comfortable doing it? Do they need any assistance doing that? All the little things, you know, sometimes their eyesight isn't as good. So, you know, just to kind of shepherd them through life's challenges.
Right. You're part of the family.
Exactly. Here at Family Wealth Management.
That's right. That's right.
There's the plug right there.
So we'll get into some questions, but I just wanted to check in because this year has been so volatile. We don't have to get into the nitty gritty, but how have you seen clients' fear show up about the market or the state of the world? How has it changed? Because you've been here for 13 years, so it's different now.
Yeah. We probably got a lot less calls than other teams did. Because the plan, because we revisit it so often that people know if you're nervous about it, let's just have a meeting. We had a ton of meetings in April and May, and let's go through the plan again and show you that it's not as bad as you think. And then the rest of the past couple of months have been good. So,
wow.
The other part is the phone is light for 12 months.
Yeah.
Meaning that we pick up the phone and we make appointments. We like appointments better than phone calls. We like a Zoom Definitely. Call or an in-person meeting. We don't mind phone calls to ask questions. That's yeah. part of the job, of course. But just having the steady regimen of client meetings and showing the people that we work with that we're engaging their financial plan, we're here for the long run, we are going to have volatility on the downside, and there's going to be obviously times when the market is going to the moon. We don't get up or down with how the markets are performing. We're attuned to it, but we have a financial plan in place. And unless the goals of that plan have changed, we're comfortable with the path we're on. When we have meetings, we do tweaking. We introduce some new concepts from the investing part because the business is always changing. But the epicenter of everything is the plan.
It can withstand.
A lot of times when there is volatility, like April, I know personally advisors where the phone is very heavy. You know, voicemail seems to be happening a lot and people can't get a hold of their advisor. And I don't want to ever be the advisor, and nor would Kristen. We don't dodge the call. We're going to talk and we're going to keep meeting. We know there's going to be ebbs and flows.
Okay, so we did a question in the intro, but since we have Kristen here, we have double CFP expertise today.
There we go.
We're going to get to some more questions so that we can really capitalize on this and get people some answers. So we're going to start with this one. I'm in my late 40s and feel like I'm behind on retirement savings. How much should I be contributing to catch up? And is it too late to make up for lost time? Kristen, any thoughts?
Well, I'd start off with it's never too late.
Definitely never too late.
Never too late. 40s is still young.
Yeah.
Well, it still is. You still have time. I think really it comes down to also when you plan on retiring. How many years you have in you until you want to retire. And then I think the plan kind of helps us figure out how much you need to save to get to where you want to be.
And clients have to understand you don't microwave wealth.
Go on.
So for this particular circumstance, you know, Chris and I would meet with this person and get the baseline of their plan and what her ability to save is. Mm-hmm. And then overlay that with a risk tolerance to show you what kind of ride she would have to the goal she's trying to reach. So case in point, a normal portfolio that pounds at 7%, the money doubles in 10 years.
Oh, great.
You can get 10% compounded return. However, if you're going to get 10% compounded return, you're going to take on more risk. Your money will double in 7 years. We show them the risk and reward in the plan based on the risk tolerance. But to Kristen's point, the most important thing is this plan is going out into their mid-90s. For this person who is in her late 40s, you know, that's 55 plus years. There's plenty of time.
Right.
There's plenty of time from a financial planning standpoint.
Can you speak on someone in their 40s and the kind of risk tolerance you would typically take, or is it really case by case?
Definitely case by case.
You got to be comfortable, because if you're not comfortable, we're not comfortable, and then it's not going to be a good situation.
Right.
Yeah, we talked to the clients about risk a lot, and I can give you three examples of risk. A client says to me, I'm very conservative. All my money is in Apple stock. So that just leads to the next phase of the discussion. Well, a single stock position is the riskiest investment of them all.
That's what I was going to say.
Very good.
How is that conservative?
Correct.
If it tanks, it tanks. Then what do you do?
So we might say to them, listen, we respect your position in Apple. It's been a good performer. However, you might want to buffer it with maybe 30 or 40 stocks around it and add your fresh money to that so we can build the foundation around Apple. As an example, then there's other people that say, I'm very conservative. I just want to be in cash. So what do you say to them, Kristen?
Well, if you're going to be in cash, people think they want to be conservative because they don't want to lose anything, but they're not really looking at the fact that 20 years from now, this $100,000 is not going to be worth that.
You will have lost
a lot. You've lost a lot of time and inflation.
Yeah. Inflation is, think of it like erosion at the Jersey Shore. Okay. If sand isn't replaced and the beach isn't kept up, there's going to be no beach. So with cash, cash historically, say, returns 2% and inflation is 2.5%. You know, you're swimming upstream. You're losing buying power. Is cash safe? Yes, it is. Is it FDIC insured? Yes, it is.
Up to a certain point?
Up to a certain point.
Get you, Alana.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that number for people?
$250,000.
Okay. Okay. This is good to know.
But.
And when you say the 2% versus 2.5%, can you explain that for a dumb person?
So you can make 2% on your money. So if you put $100,000 into a CD and in 1 year, it's going to be worth $102,000.
Got it.
But at the end of that year, inflation was, say, 2.5%. So you've actually lost ground with buying power. To break even, cash would have had to perform $102,400 or $500 if it's 2.5%.
Got it.
So
you don't think about that.
Yeah. So, you know, cash is basically only for short-term expenses. The money that you don't need short-term should be invested for the long-term. And that's usually some type of equity / bond portfolio. And depending on, again, and Kristen knows this, reading the room, you can show the people the plan, you can show them the risk tolerance and how they should be invested, but you have to have a steady hand in having them wade into the water of investing appropriately.
Yeah. And okay. Meeting with them more often when they're new clients, especially.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. This is good. Crypto, Bitcoin, can you break it down? Also, I've been hearing about people putting Bitcoin in their retirement accounts. Is that a thing or is that just hype? This is a hip question.
Very hip.
So crypto, Bitcoin, we've never talked about it on the podcast. Yeah, but
people mention it. So it comes up.
We talk about it in our meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't.
Can you break it down? Crypto versus Bitcoin. Can you break it down for us?
We don't.
You don't?
We don't.
You don't deal with it at all?
What we do is we have a place in the financial plan where we can list it as an asset.
If they already have it.
Yep.
Right. So we say to them, okay, you're in crypto or Bitcoin or whatever form that you're in. What is today's value? That's what we ask. So it's listed as an asset.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
At UBS, we are not permitted to sell Bitcoin. Do we have to have a working knowledge of it? Yes.
Right.
Okay. But we can't have a deep discussion about it because we're not licensed to sell it.
People have outside accounts and they, like Dan said, they'll bring it up during the plan. And I would say we kind of say, in my mind, it's money that is long-term and you're willing to have some volatility in and mm-hmm. be okay with it. So I think if you're going to put money towards that, you've got to be comfortable with the fact that maybe you could lose it all. Who knows?
Right.
Or it could go to the moon, you know?
Right.
Yeah, our,
you don't know.
Our planning position on cryptocurrency is if you're going to put money into it, let it be. Let it
and
be.
And just see what happens.
If you're going to day trade it, you know, we don't do day trading at UBS. It's not what we do. We do a financial plan. We commit to an asset class. We let the money managers do their thing, and they're the experts in their field. But if there's a finite amount of crypto, then devote money to it and let it mature. Let it do what it's going to do.
And then this is sort of my follow-up question, but obviously I grew up with you. I know the value of a financial plan, but I know a lot of people also just deal in apps and online financial planners and they never meet. If there's even a person behind it, I don't know. Do people come to you with a Robinhood portfolio or something like that and then they come to you with it?
Yeah, I say that does come up once in a while. We have clients that do that. And I think that there could be a place for that. I think it really comes down to we need to know all these types of accounts, and we also have to have a plan for the long-term money.
Holistically.
A holistic view, yeah.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, it's kind of like a balanced meal. We're serving a protein, a carbohydrate, mm-hmm. vegetables, and this is more like kind of a dessert item.
Love it.
Yeah, so.
There's that metaphor.
It's okay to devote money to something you're interested in pursuing, but the most meaningful part of your financial plan is the core. As far as apps doing financial plans, every financial institution has an app and you can do planning and the whole thing. I think the value that our group brings is keeping one's feet to the fire with their plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so an accountability factor. Also, you know, there's an emotional factor. When a 25-year-old calls me up and we have them invested in a well-diversified stock portfolio and they're looking to go to cash and maybe get back in a few months, that's not adhering to the financial plan because it's more about starting on devoting amount of money, adding money to that regularly. And I always say to them, you actually want the investments perhaps to be going down as you're adding
mm-hmm.
because you're kind of buying on sale. specifically in 401k plans and investments of that nature. And the other part is the company match in 401ks. They'll go into a 401k and they'll invest in the money market and they'll get the company match and everything's in money market. So you got 100% return. If you put 1% in, they match 1%. You got 100% return on your money, but you're in money market.
Right. It's not a diverse portfolio.
You could really take on a lot more equity risk because you're already 100% ahead of the game.
And you need to talk to someone to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
too, though. I think it's connecting the dots. Clients come in and it's also, do you have your will? Do you have your estate plan? Do you have an accountant that you are happy with? The app's not going to ask those kinds of questions either. I think that's an important piece to the whole thing because we often talk to clients, attorneys, and CPAs, and it's nice to have that relationship with those other parties because everything kind of links.
There's a lot of interconnectivity.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter about AI coming into our business and
everywhere.
It's here. We're dealing with it. I would just say that I go to a restaurant that I like, and it's not always for the food.
Right.
It's the atmosphere. What's the experience like? The financial plan should be an experience. It really should be something that people embrace, rely upon, but also have fun with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, you know, the fun part is planning for your goals.
Right. Any last questions for Kristen?
Yeah. Maybe share with us an aha moment for you where you went home that day and just felt really good.
I would say an aha moment for me was actually, it built up over a period of time, but we had a client who was in her late 80s, early 90s, speaking earlier about what we said about end of life planning and stuff. Her husband passed away, had a lot of different accounts in different places that she didn't even know about. She lived about an hour away. I'd go up there probably once a month and talk to her often too, but just to sort of get her on the same page because there were things everywhere. And she really appreciated it. And I really found she was a wonderful woman. So it was nice to spend time with her. She enjoyed it. I felt like I was helping her. So I would say that was the moment where I was kind of like, you know, you really are helping people. And that I think is a really special part of the business.
Wow, you make such an impact.
He sure does.
All right. Well, that was great. I think getting both of your opinions on a bunch of these questions was exciting and new and fresh perspective, seasoned perspective. I think people will enjoy it.
What do you mean by seasoned?
You said it yourself. I'm repeating you, coach.
He did say seasoned.
Exactly.
Salt and pepper seasoned.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the Kristen Marino.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, would you call Kristen a dynamo?
Yeah, I think you have to.
You have to.
One of the things that I've stressed upon her is the need of female financial advisors or female certified financial planners. It's a male-dominated industry.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure you know that.
Well, no, just that like when you picture people working in finance and numbers and math, like you picture the guys in the puffy vests walking down Wall Street. They all wear vests.
There you go.
What is that?
I don't know.
Anyway, but yeah, that's what you picture. And also historically, talk about girls in STEM growing up. There's a big push for teachers to value girls as they're learning science and math and not just English, the arts, history, that kind of thing.
There you go. So bottom line is I have three dynamic young ladies working in our practice now. Kristen has risen to certified financial planner, but two other are licensed and are, you know, going down the path of getting the experience to hopefully one day be planners themselves. But there's a big need for female financial planners.
Okay, so let's end it on a baseball note or sports, shall I say. Can you equate working with Kristen to coaching Kristen? Can you equate the kind of CFP she is with the kind of player she was? You coached her in softball.
Yeah. So she was what I call a progressional athlete, meaning that every year she just got a little better. It wasn't like quantum leaps. I would say that she played sports mostly for being with her friends and having fun. And whenever we were on the bench, the voice that was always heard was her imploring the person up the bat or pitching the ball or catching the ball. Regardless of the outcome, it was a positive encouragement.
She was a hype woman. Hype them up.
Yeah, she just really got behind the team. And if clients could see what she does behind the scenes for them, and obviously during meetings I see it, but she brings that same attitude to our practice that's so needed. Clients who get to know her are just floored by the experience. She's just one of a kind. I'm glad people are going to get to know her a little bit on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, we will be back for more finance chats here at Dan Has a Plan. And remember, if you have a question for us, please email me at ALANNA.Smith@UBS.com for your Ask Dan questions. All right. Love you.
Love you.
Podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.